welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hello and happy Friday. It's Jessica. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. I hoped you loved our Tuesday episode with Crystal Payne. Wasn't she just so wonderful? I loved her vulnerability in sharing about how she's changed a lot, especially over the last year, in her willingness to open up and share her life with the world, even if there might be some criticism involved. Sometimes criticism comes from a place where it's seeking to help us to be better and calling out a truth that we need to hear. And sometimes criticism is just from bullies, and that is a criticism we can let go. So that was a major takeaway I had from her episode, was it's like, you should have those truth tellers in your life. And if the truth is coming from them, you should consider it. But if it's not, and if it's from an anonymous source or some outside person or stranger that doesn't really have your best interest or doesn't know the whole story, why are you giving it so much weight? Gosh, I love that episode so much. So if you haven't already listened, you can go back to episode 150 with Crystal Payne, and I hope you enjoyed that or will enjoy it. It's been a good week around here. Two of my kids have been at the grandparents' house, and so I'm recording this literally in silence. Jackson's sleeping right now, and so I wanted to take the time to share with you something that's been on my mind and been on my heart, something I wanted to share that's really helped me in hopes that it might help you as well. So the topic of today's episode is how to change the way that you see yourself. And for a long, long time, I really had an issue with believing people when they pay me a compliment or say something nice about me, and I don't see that same thing in myself. Can anybody identify? I'm sure you can. And to some degree, we all have experienced this in different seasons of our life. Now, some people never exit that season, and they always feel like they're battling an uphill battle of either it's body positivity or believing in themselves or believing in their skills or believing they're a good mom, whatever it is. Sometimes it's for a shorter season or for a day or for a couple weeks, and sometimes it's kind of the overarching message and theme of their whole life. So no matter which camp you fall into, I'm hoping that my message and my words today will meet you where you're at, and you'll be able to have a few takeaways to kind of reassess how you view yourself. Is it helping you, and do you want to change it? And I'm going to kind of help tell you how you can begin to change it. Now, I'm no expert by any means. I have been in therapy, so I guess that makes me a little bit of an expert. But I feel like we're all experts on ourselves, and you know yourself best. And I can't give you all the answers of how to solve your life's problems, but I can tell you what has worked for me. And hopefully by me telling my journey, you'll be able to have some takeaways to apply some lessons and some truths into your own life so that you can make the positive changes you want to in order to be your best self. Okay? So, something that I've mentioned several times on the podcast is about the narrative in our head. So all of us are operating every single day based on a certain narrative in our head. We all have truths that are true for us. And we talked about this in the therapy episode. And sometimes those truths are true. You know, it's hot outside. I have three kids. The sun is shining. You know, things like that. But then sometimes there's truths that are, I'm not a good mom. Truths like, I'm not that smart. Truths like, my business is never going to be successful. I'm a terrible homemaker. Things like that, okay? So there's different assumptions that we operate every single day based on those assumptions. And sometimes they're based on true facts, and that's what's got us to where we are. And sometimes those truths are developed based on incorrect facts. So let's say you're at a get-together with some girlfriends and you say something and you feel like somebody in that circle of friends kind of gives you a look, or they kind of chuckle, or they give you a side eye. And so automatically you're drawing conclusions. You're drawing conclusions that they think that you're not smart or that you're ridiculous. You're drawing conclusions that they think less of you, whatever it is. Do you actually know any of that information for certain? No. But guess what? As soon as you draw that conclusion about what that person thought of you in that moment, you have a new truth about that person's impression of you. And that person's impression of you oftentimes can weigh on you more than you even realize. So then the next time you're with that person, you have this kind of subconscious insecurity around them, and you're feeling really self-conscious, and you're feeling like they're always waiting for you to make a mistake, or they're always looking for more evidence of how ridiculous you are, you know? But this whole time, it wasn't based on anything. Maybe they had something in their eye, and so they kind of flutter their eyelashes in a weird way, and it looks like an eye roll to you. Who even knows? But the point is, we all tend to draw conclusions, whether they are actually based on facts or whether it's a story we conjure up in our head, right? And so the more we conjure up stories in our own heads based upon what we think is going on in reality, what we think people think of us, what we think is happening, what we think about things, the less accurate our narrative becomes. And so that's where we kind of get into trouble, right? And so the first step of changing the way you view yourself is identify the narrative in your head. Now, there's lots of narratives, so you're going to kind of have to go piece by piece. So in each kind of area of your life or each type of truth that you, an affirmation that you might be repeating in your head, what is true for yourself? How do you actually feel about your body? How do you actually feel about your job as a mom? How do you actually feel you're doing as a wife? How do you actually feel in a group of friends, you know, things like that? What's the narrative that you're telling? And you're going to think about two things. What thoughts are serving you and based on truth that is actually true based on actual facts? And which are the thoughts that are not serving you and are actually untrue? Now, a lot of times we will know something is actually untrue, but we'll keep perpetuating that lie in our head. So saying, "Ugh, I'm a terrible mom." Okay, do you actually believe you're a terrible mom, or are you kind of just perpetuating the idea that you keep messing up and you keep being frustrated with yourself? But are you actually a terrible mom? You know, I don't know if people actually totally believe that they're terrible, or they just have those bad moments where they feel like they're terrible, okay? So you want to kind of sort those things out. So the important thing is you're thinking about what thoughts are serving you and which ones are not. And then you're going to change the narratives that do not serve you. So by waking up in the morning and thinking, "Ugh, I'm a terrible mother. Everyone's doing it better than me. My kids would be better off with somebody else." Those are true thoughts that people have cross their mind. And whether that's, you know, occasional thoughts that slip in, or whether that's kind of an overarching theme of your life, we've all kind of been there where we feel like total failures, right? Hashtag mom fail. Like, we've all been there, right? But think about where your barometer comes from. Who are you comparing yourself to? Are you comparing yourself to your friends? Are you comparing yourself to people on social media that you don't actually know that are portraying themselves in a certain way online? Or are you just putting undue pressure on yourself from your own unrealistic expectations? Think about where that pressure is coming from to be a certain way. So if you're viewing yourself as not a great mom, if you're viewing yourself as, you know, totally out of shape and too chubby, or whatever it is that you're thinking about yourself in a negative way, think about where your barometer is coming from. How are you measuring your own success, and why are you failing in your own mind? One thing that I noticed was when I'm careful about who I surround myself with, my expectations and my opinion of myself can kind of change, okay? So that might mean you might need to make a few changes, which I know is super scary, but stick with me here. So if you are around people that are always striving to put on the appearance that they have it all together, I guarantee you are more likely to feel like a failure as a mom and as a person. Because it doesn't mean that these other people necessarily actually do have it all together. They're just trying to come off that they have the appearance of having it all together. Now, which is more important? Actually having it all together, but being so stressed out that you're going to be found out that you actually don't have it all together, or being more transparent and celebrating and highlighting what you are good at and recognizing with vulnerability that you're not good at everything? It's okay to not be good at everything. That still means you can be an extraordinary mom. It still means you can be a great wife and not be perfect at everything. So like I was saying, who do you surround yourselves with? Are you surrounding yourself with people that make you feel inferior to them, when in actuality, they have their weaknesses too. They're just so hyper concerned with not letting that show. Or do you surround yourself with authentic people that are honest about their struggles as well as the things that they excel at? And ultimately, those people just make you feel a lot more secure that you showing up just as you are is enough. Now, a lot of times that means just having a couple close friends, and that's fine. It's better to have a close number or a small number of close friends that you feel really comfortable around, that motivate you and encourage you and inspire you, than to have a whole huge slew of friends, or maybe not even friends, just a whole slew of people in your sphere of influence that are influencing you that make you feel inferior. So kind of monitor, who are you surrounding yourself with, and are those the right people? Because I encourage you to make changes with the people you spend time with if it's not filling your cup or making you feel worse about yourself or contributing to the narrative that is incorrect that you're telling yourself. So recognizing that how you view yourself often is impacted by the way you think other people view you, that is a huge realization. And so any way that you can control and alter the interactions you have with other people or the exposure you have with social media, things like that, that influences the way you view yourself, be aware of that and make the changes that you need to make in order to have a more accurate view of yourself, or to correct the storytelling that you are doing by interacting with these people. Does that make sense? Something that I like to really do is try and have an abundant mindset. So I really believe wholeheartedly that I can be a really great mom, and you can be a really great mom, and she can be a really great mom, and we can all really be great moms, and we can all be doing it in our own way. I 100% wholeheartedly believe that. But we fall into the comparison trap. We really believe that if there's another great mom in our circle, that we must not be as great. And that's just a lie that we tell ourselves, and we perpetuate this image of ourselves that we're not doing as good as somebody else. So one thing that I found extremely helpful when it comes to falling into that comparison trap is changing envy into encouragement. And this is what I mean. So a lot of times there's other podcasts that talk about motherhood and do a fabulous job, and sometimes I feel like maybe there's not enough room for all of us. Now, I know that's not true. You can add any number of podcasts to your queue and it makes no difference. Sure, you have limited amounts of time, but really you can make time, as much time as you want, and you can listen to them in any time frame. And just because there's somebody else who has a fabulous podcast, it doesn't mean that other people can't also listen to yours. But that happens. If I hear a greatly produced podcast, or if they have a great guest and I get a little bit jealous, something like that, and I start to have that scarcity mindset instead of that abundant mindset, this is what I've changed my way in thinking. So instead of being jealous and instead of envying their success or their guests or their whatever it is, their expertise, instead of sticking with that envy and that jealousy, I change it into encouragement. So I will stop right that second and I will do something to reach out to let them know that I thought they were great. Because the thing is, I did think they were great. I did think they did a great job. There was something great to be envied. And so instead of sticking with that negative emotion, I turn it back and I let them know how awesome I thought they were. And so I have emailed podcast hosts or texted them if I know them personally, if I read a great blog post, if I saw somebody, you know, at school pickup and they looked really cute, I'll text them. Whatever it is, even if my gut reaction, my humanly instinctual reaction is not necessarily positive, even if it's jealousy because I wish that I could have that, or I wish I could look like that, whatever it is, fill in the blank. You can choose to sit with that and it can really bring you down, or you can flip it and let them know how awesome or cute or impressed you are with them and make their day. And in turn, it just deflects that negativity right off of you. And when you put light out into the world, light comes back to you. And guaranteed, there have been people that have looked at you with that same type of jealousy or envy and maybe they've let it fester. But there's also been the people, think of a time, when they have commented to you that they were impressed by you, or that you look cute, or that you did a great job handling that parenting moment. And don't you feel so great when you are called out for something good about yourself? Because maybe that was the very thing you were feeling insecure about, or you weren't sure about something. And by you putting something out there and getting positive feedback, you felt reassured about that. We've all been there and been the recipient, and it feels so good. So let's be the giver. Let's be the one that builds other people up, because you cannot maintain a negative, self-deprecating mindset when you are constantly elevating other people in a genuine, positive way. If you're doing it in a mean-spirited, like mocking kind of way, then yeah, you can stay in the negative. But when you are sincerely building other people up, you get built up too. And guess what? We can all be builders of each other, and we can still rise ourselves. There is absolutely no limit to how high somebody else can rise, and there's no limit to how high you can rise, and there's no limit to how positively you can feel about yourself. And so part of changing the way you view yourself is changing the way that you view other people, treat other people, and then view yourself in comparison to them. If you are a cheerleader of your friends, if you are a cheerleader of your kids, you will be boosted as well, both through the boosting of them and just by being that type of person. You end up being somebody that's really likable. You've been around somebody that is just an encourager, right? Can you think of somebody in your life that is always motivating other people to go for their dreams? Yes, or sharing resources. Gosh, there are so many people in my life who I ask a question and they just have an abundant number of resources. And especially if it's something that could be kind of competitive, like if it's a business aspect or things like that, you know, sometimes people are a little bit tight-lipped about their success because they are kind of afraid of somebody else achieving too. But the people that share their resources and share their wisdom and their know-how, those people are remarkable. And it doesn't stop their success. It can only boost yours. And when people become believers that advocating and encouraging other people is just as important as encouraging yourself, bingo, it just changes the whole trajectory of everybody's lives. I love it so much. So change envy into encouragement, and that can truly change your day and change the way that you view yourself. Okay, there is something I need to tell you, and I want you to listen up. Are you ready? This is truth. Are you ready? Here we go. No one is good at things from the start. You always need to allow time for improvement. Okay, when you started walking, when you were a baby, how many times did you fall down? A lot, right? Nobody just stands up and starts walking. When you are first learning to paint your nails, it's a mess, right? And it only gets better through practice. When you start a sport, you're terrible. Sure, there might be some natural ability, but comparatively to where you're able to progress to, it takes time to improve your skill set. Well, guess what? 9 months of pregnancy and then suddenly being in charge of another human, that doesn't just click overnight and suddenly you're the best mom on the planet. No matter how many parenting books you read, no matter how many kids you babysat, nothing prepares you for motherhood like motherhood. And so in the very beginning, when you were up all night long and you were trying to make decisions and figure out things on 3 hours of sleep and your body's hurting and you're hormonal and you're just so confused, how can you possibly expect to be an amazing, perfect mom? But we set these expectations for ourselves like there's not supposed to be a learning curve. But there is. They hand you a baby and suddenly you're supposed to know everything? No, I mean, cognitively, we know that's ridiculous. But in the moment, we really don't give ourselves very much space or grace to learn and to ramp up and to improve. And it's really true for each season of parenting. Having a baby is much, much different than parenting a toddler through tantrums and potty training. And that's much different than dealing with elementary age and tween age problems. And it's much different, much, much, much different than parenting a teenager. I can't even speak to that. I can't fathom it yet. And guess what? When I become a teenage parent, I'm gonna have no clue what I'm doing. But I hope that I will give myself the space and the grace to learn, to ramp up, to acknowledge that I'm not gonna get it all perfectly. But I hope that I'll be self-aware enough to realize that for every time I make a mistake, I'm gonna learn from that mistake so that I can be a little bit better the next time. And I think by acknowledging that, that's gonna be true for every season of parenting, every season of life, really. And it's when we cling too tightly to the expectations we have that we should know and behave and perform perfectly in every new scenario. It's unrealistic. But letting go of that can really help ourselves to believe and see ourselves in a much more positive light. That as long as we're doing the best we can, as long as we're self-aware and doing the best with what we know and what we're working with right that second, that's all we can do. And when we do that and we release that, there is tremendous freedom and hope that perhaps we really are good enough. Perhaps we really are skinny enough. Perhaps we are a good enough wife. You know, it's like, it's not saying that we're not going to be better tomorrow. It's not saying that we cannot improve, because we can. We're always improving. Even on our best days, there's still opportunities to improve. But to recognize that we don't need to beat ourselves up about being in the learning phase. And we should really always be in the learning phase, but especially that initial learning phase of any new set of experiences or new season of life, there's that time where it's like those wobbly giraffe legs, where you're getting your footing. And I think that's true every single time we come into new territory where we're not really sure how to go about things, but trusting that you're gonna figure it out and believing that you figured it out before with other circumstances and you'll get through this one as well. And the last thing I wanna say about changing the way you view yourself is truly being able to identify what it is that you value and what you want to spend your time on that is true to you and the things that matter to you, and letting go of all the rest. Because as soon as we stop expecting that we need to do all the things really well all the time, as soon as we hone in on the things that are most important and the things that we really want to get better at and work on and prioritize into our life, that is when we can change the barometer and hold a mirror up to ourselves and hold ourselves accountable according to those values that are true for you and those expectations that truly matter just to you. And it's a lot easier to critique yourself when it's based on your own motivations and your own desires than society's, because then you're living and creating and cultivating the life that actually matters to you. And it's a lot easier to meet those expectations than the world's. And still, we can be our worst critic. And so that's even hard, and we can get caught up in that. But identify what you value, who you want to be, and then spend your time working on that. If you are doing your best to focus on those things and become the best version of yourself according to that definition, that's amazing. That's extraordinary even. And when you know you're doing your best at that, that changes the way you view yourself so much. The way I view myself now is so different, three kids in, than when I had one child and was holding myself to this bar that was unrealistic. And I was too hypercritical and hyper concerned about a whole list of things that actually didn't quite matter in actuality. But now I try and focus on less things that are more important. And that has changed everything. The last thing I want to say is seek to do your best. In the Four Agreements, he talks about how one of the things that you need to really clarify in your mind is that if you've done your best, that's enough. And your best might look different on any given day, depending upon the circumstances. And I've seen a lot of people go through some really hard things in life. And their best looks a lot different than when their kids are all healthy and when they have all the money in the bank they need, or when they're not moving and they're in one stable location. Life is going to throw you some curveballs, and life is going to thwart your idea of what your best looks like. But as long as you are doing your best based upon your circumstances in that moment, that's good enough. And when you view yourself in a way that is realistic, listen, I got 3 hours of sleep last night because I was up with nursing a baby. Of course I'm going to be tired today and my house isn't going to be as clean. Well, yeah, when you put it that way, it's much easier to realize why things are the way they are today versus I got 12 hours of sleep last night and we have, you know, plenty of time during the day to get the places we need to go and do all the things we need to do. That best is going to look different. But giving yourself room to realize what does my best look like today or what does my best look like in this moment even. Because even moment to moment it can change, right? But realizing that your best is good enough, I just love that. I think that is so powerful and that has really changed the way I see myself. So you know when you talk for a while and then you're not really sure what you just said? That's kind of where we're at right now. But I feel really passionate about this because I talk to a lot of women all the time who have an inaccurate view of themselves. And I've been that woman. And sometimes I am still that woman. And I struggle with believing how other people see me if it's really positive, because sometimes I don't see that in myself. And by being aware of the pitfalls of comparison, and if you're falling into that, and are you comparing yourselves to people in real life, and to what degree, and are you comparing yourself to people that you don't even know, and how is that impacting your day-to-day and the way you view yourself? Think about how that impacts you and make changes accordingly. Are you surrounding yourself with the right people? Are you encouraging people, or are you staying stuck in envy? Are you giving yourself the space to learn in new seasons or in new experiences? Or are you beating yourself up because you're not good at something right away? It is an unrealistic expectation. And think about how you would respond to somebody else who is complaining or commiserating about the same things that you're saying in your own head. If somebody were beating themselves up about the way they handled a tantrum, you'd probably be very encouraging and very grace-filled for them and compassionate. But we don't often offer that to ourselves. And so think about talking to yourself the way that you would talk to somebody else in that same situation. And give yourself time to improve. Be self-aware enough to realize where you are messing up, but then give yourself the time and the space to improve. And then identify your values, decide who you want to be and what you want to spend your time on, and then hold yourself accountable to living out those values, making sure that your priorities and your values are not just what you see somebody else doing. And the last thing is seek to do your best, because your best is good enough. Whew, was that helpful? I don't know. Let me know. After solo episodes like this, it feels a little bit like a vulnerability hangover. So it's great to get feedback from people who listened and things resonated with them. So please don't be afraid to reach out and let me know if this episode was helpful and what you thought. I want to tell you about next week's episode because it's amazing. It's with Julie Lundgren of So Canary. Julie has 3 little ones, very similar ages to mine. And I love, love, love Julie because of her vulnerability online. She is very open about the fact that despite always wanting to be a mom, it didn't necessarily come naturally. And there are some days where she really struggles with being in that role. And I think we've all been there to some degree. And so that's what I love about that conversation. So tune in next week for my interview with Julie. She's so amazing. And I know you're going to love that conversation. If you don't already follow me on Instagram, you can do that at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And everything that we talked about in today's episode, past episodes, is over at ExtraordinaryMomsPodcast.com. So thanks for tuning in today. You guys are the absolute best. I love spending my podcast time with you, and I hope you enjoyed it too. So I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.